Since the exile, they were again ruled over by the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greek, and now the Romans. And under the Greeks, they were allowed, well, actually, under the Persians, they were allowed to go back to their homeland. Whereas the Babylonians, their rule was that, hey, when they're going to capture these cities or these nations, they're going to split them up and send them to different areas of their empire to immerse them in their cultures in different cities. Also, strategically, it was a great defense against them uniting again against them. So that was how the Babylonians were. Where the Persians, they did it a little different. They allowed the people to go back to their homelands. And then, so while again, these certain Jews, and not all of them returned, right? But certain of them certainly returned back to the homeland of Jerusalem. And as we mentioned, they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls. When the Greeks, under Alexander the Great, eventually conquered the Persians, there was this division now that started amongst the Jewish nation. Because the Greeks were more forceful than the Persians in getting the nations that they conquered to adopt the Greek culture, the Greek land. That's why so much of the Bible was written in Greek, right? They translated the Old Testament during this period because the Greeks were forcing them to adapt to their culture. So they had to speak and write and do all these things Greek, okay? So during that time period when the Greeks ruled over the nation of Israel, the Jewish people adapted the Greek culture because they had to, okay? And during that time period was this strong division between the Jewish people. And we refer to them as, there was this group called the Hellenistic group, or the Hellenist Jews, and they were supportive and embraced all things Greek, okay? So they weren't against it. Then, as we learned last week, there was this group called the Hasidim, or the pious ones, that demanded strict adherence to the Jewish law and customs. And this Hasidim group is where the Pharisees really originated from. Okay? So the term Pharisee comes from the Greek word pharisaos, which comes from the Hebrew word parash, okay, which means to separate, or separated ones, okay? And it's unknown, really, historically. Some Bible scholars feel they gave themselves that name, okay? They were the separated ones. Others feel it was given to them by their enemies. It was kind of a derogatory statement to be called a Pharisee, similar to where we got the word Protestant from. It was originally was a demeaning term, Protestant, yeah? But the Pharisee, they think maybe the same way. Regardless, they truly were the separated ones. And we touched upon this just a bit because there are two major characteristics of the Pharisees. And we touched upon the first point, which was a strict observance and adherence to the law of Moses, okay? That was a major characteristic. Now, there were other groups that held by that standard as well, but it certainly was one of the major characteristics of the Pharisees. Now, is that a bad thing? No, right? It's not a bad thing. We hear that in our lingo right now, right? We want to be strict observance of the Bible, right? What it says and what it says to do, and we want to follow it. The Bible is true. The Bible is right. The Bible comes from God. That's God's word. That's what we want to follow. Hey, that's how the Pharisees taught as well. Yet, again, the conundrum or the what we have to find out is, why was it that the Pharisees, as a group of people, were verbally spanked by Jesus more than any other group in the Bible? Now, there's a second major characteristic of the Pharisees, okay? And this, we're going to start to see why the problems existed with the Pharisees. Because the second major characteristic was they placed a great value on the oral traditions that were handed down over time. In fact, they say that to them, to the Pharisee, the oral traditions that were passed down through their sect, had as much authority as the law itself, okay? The oral traditions. And we're not going to get to those two characteristics today because I think there's something else we need to look at, but I want you to keep that in mind while we look at these other things. Strict observance of the law and the strict following and observance of the oral tradition. But keep in mind, the Pharisees also believed that because they were right, because they were these separated ones, they feel that they were in the right, that they had the right to interpret and apply these laws as they saw fit. In fact, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17, because this is a major, major verse. And we'll eventually get to this in the New Testament. But you hear of other groups in the New Testament as well, right? A lot of times the Sadducees were mentioned as much as the Pharisees. And you had the Essenes, they were there as well. You had the Zealots there as well. So there's all these other groups there. And there was all this strategically trying to gain power by these different groups. Now, part of the reason we see is in Deuteronomy chapter 17, and I think it'll become very clear to you, but look at verse number 8. Deuteronomy, beginning in verse number 8 of chapter 17. The law says, if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priest, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according in the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee. Hey, they stood on that verse that if you're a priest, right, you get to make the call. If there's any discrepancy, any questions on interpretation of the law, you get to say what is right, right? And that's why there's this struggle going on between these religious groups of the time because of that point right there. We see it in other religions today as well, right? Now, we feel we have the truth, right, in the Word of God. We feel we can follow the Word of God, that God makes it very clear and plain and simple. Yet there are other groups that feel the same way, right? There are other groups that they use Scripture to. A lot of times they use some alternative writings as well, but they feel that they have the right to interpret it the way that they interpret it, and that their way is right. We think because this is thousands of years ago a lot of times that there's a lot of difference. There really is not, okay? It was the same thing going on here with the Pharisees, okay? That's why you see this struggle for control in the New Testament, because the group that was in charge, or the group that had the most followers, if they became the priests in that time, they get to interpret and make the interpretations of the law or how the law is applied. And we see many examples of that in the New Testament. We'll get to that eventually. But keep that in mind as we go through this next section. Now, the history of the Jewish people and the times that they lived in impacted several important aspects of their lives. Several important aspects of their everyday life. So all that they went through, and especially in that last 500 years, right, when they're coming out of exile and returning, it impacted several aspects of their daily lives and the lives of other nations and people that were in that time period associated with the Jews. And I want us to take a look at these and understand it. Okay, because again, I think there's major significance to our lives today. Because it's going to help us not only understand the Pharisees better, I think it'll help us understand ourselves and certainly New Testament scripture better. Now, the first area of impact that we see as a result of the Jewish historical journey is in the aspect of their culture. Their culture. Now, what comes to mind when we talk about people groups' culture? What comes to mind? One of the first things. I know what came first for me. Food. There you go. Food. Certainly, that's an aspect of people groups' culture. Yeah? But not only food. There's other things as well. What else? And we not spiritual things, but what else just in the culture, Billy?
Clothing.
How they dressed was different. Right? Different people groups. And there was an impact, again, because of all that they went through, all the conquests, this being under different leaders, there was an impact to their lives. Not only clothing and food, what else are some of the things? Culture.
Dialect.
Speaking. What languages? We already talked and touched upon how the Greeks made them speak Greek. We've seen that happen in other eras as well. When people were conquered and such, they had to adopt that language. What else?
Worship,
certainly. We're going to get to worship eventually. But how about music or dance, right? We see that as a major part of people's culture, right? Their music and their dance. We see it here in Hawaii, right? Major part of culture is the music and the dance. How about customs? People have different customs based on their culture, right? We'll talk about that a bit, but, you know, to emphasize that point, you know, one of the customs we have here, right, in our culture now, our blended culture, is something, you know, simple like removing your footwear, right, your shoes before you enter the house. Not everywhere is like that, right? In fact, we had a guest come to rent our cottage yesterday. First thing he did is walk in the cottage with his shoes on. Right? It's just not their culture. And we went to travel, visited Billy's family in Memphis, and they all walk in with their shoes on. I mean, it's so foreign to us, right? But again, it's because our customs, based on our culture, we take our shoes off. So those are, you know, just some of the things that were impact. So remember, the Jewish people had just spent many, many years in scattered to many regions of the world. They were ruled over by the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans, right? Do you think that their culture may have changed a bit during those hundreds of years? Right? I mean, you would have to think so. Right? You would have to think that the culture would have changed for them. Do you think that they may have adopted some new foods, some new dress, maybe a new way of doing things, again, over those hundreds of years? Hey, if anyone understands the impact that different cultures can have on a society or on other cultures, really, it's us in Hawaii. I mean, I think we would understand that better than anyone. You see, Hawaii is called the what? The melting pot of the Pacific, right? And it's what they're meaning is it's a melting pot of peoples and cultures. But realize this, all of that happened in a relatively short period of time. That melting. I mean, when you compare, again, when you look at the children of Israel, just in this time period alone, right, you got 500 years. Right? We're talking Hawaii's melting pot happened in way less than 100 years, right? Thanks to our plantation history here, long history, not all good, okay, but the plantation history of sugarcane and pineapple, we saw several people groups and cultures that came together, lived together eventually, and worked together. Now, I'm of the age now, you know, when you get older, you want to mention your age more because you're only getting older, right? So I'm 50. I'm going to be 51 next month, so I'm going to be happy that I'm still 50, right? But, you know, I was born in Hawaii and raised in a time where I remember the plantation. And I'm sure, Uncle Bobby, you remember more than me, right? But I remember when we had sugarcane plantations. I remember the sugar mills. I remember when we had pineapple. I remember when when you went to school here in the summer break was you go work pineapple in Lanai, pick pineapple, right? I mean, those are things that happen. But think about it, because I think in a lot of ways it's similar to what the Jewish people may have went through. Chinese, Filipino, Japanese, Portuguese, Spanish, Puerto Ricans, Koreans, all brought to Hawaii to work the plantations, right? That's how we became the melting pot, is because of that. All these people groups, by the thousands, were brought in. Now, forced labor, a lot of that was really slave labor at the time. I won't get started, Richard. Don't worry. My union background, we'll leave that for another day. Okay, but they were brought in to work the plantations. Now, part of that was the Hawaiians didn't want to work it. They were smart enough. They said, hey, we're going to surf and fish for that cheap wages that you guys pay, and we ain't going to work that plantation. Okay, but they were brought in with the culture that was here, right? The Hawaiian culture that was here, all brought in. Okay. At first, they were strategically kept away, apart. That's why, I mean, I know Uncle Bobby knows this, I know this, but when you grew up long enough on the different islands, you knew where the Japanese camp was, where the Filipino camp was, where the Koreans was. Am I right, Uncle Bobby? Yeah, had that. I remember that. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that. They were strategically kept apart, but eventually they immersed and blended together to form this very unique and special culture that we all live in. And the blended culture that we have created a culture of its own, right? Now we have our own culture based on all those blended cultures that came together. Now, that talking of this area of food first, right? Talking just the area of food. If I was to say Kung Pao or wonton or chow mein, what would you think of? Chinese, pake. That's right. Right? We wrote songs about that, right? Mr. Sun Cho Lee, get plenty lychee. Get plenty lychee, but he no give to me. And he's just a mean old pake man. Right? I mean, there's songs that name the different races, right? In that song itself. If I was to say pansit, dinaguan, pinakbit, lumpia, balut, what are you going to think of? Filipino, right? If I was to say pastele, or panadija, or gandoori rice, or bacalao, right? You're going to think of Puerto Rican or Portuguese. That's right. Lau lau, aki, lomi salmon, right? Squid luau. What you going to think of? Hawaiian. Right? Sukiyaki, teriyaki, tempura, right? Japanese. Okay? These are all now a part of our regular diet. Right? Now that's become, whereas it was unique culturally, now it's all part culturally of our diet today. And over the years, new people's groups have come, right? If I was to say palusami, or fa'alifu, or fa'apapa, or pinipopo, Samoan, that's right. Reno was here, he would tell you, okay? But that's Samoan, again, part of our diet today. Kaubi, bibimbap, mijun, right? Korean, right? I mean, again, all these cultures have become now part of one culture. We all eat that stuff. Maybe not all of it, but you eat it. If you live here, eventually, you're going to eat it. Now, how long does it take to someone to adapt or adopt to another culture? long period of time? No, not at all. Billy and I have been married a short period of time, really. I think 11 years. 11 years, okay? Now, when Billy first moved here, she wasn't too keen on a lot of this food that we ate, right? I mean, even the thought of eating rice every day, right, was something totally new for her. And some of these foods, I can remember the first time I brought home Thai curry for dinner. Billy was not too happy, okay, not too thrilled about, well, guess who loves Thai curry the best of anything right now? Billy. Who loves Lao Lao and Lomi Lomi salmon? Billy. Hey, it didn't take long. She'll tell you her taste buds have changed relatively quickly. Something that she thought was, you know, totally gross, now she loves in a short period of time. Now, how about this? What nationality would you say if I mentioned Kauai chicken? Malaysian. Because Richmond's the only guy I know eats Kauai chickens over here, okay? I have to pick on you there, Richmond. But hey, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to adopt, right, to these cultures. But here's another question. What happens when you first are introduced to a culture, to a food that you don't like? What happens? Some people will sample, right? Some people will try. Some people open. Some people willing. You know, I don't view myself as one of those types of people, though. I mean, there's certain things I'm not going to sample. Balut is one of them, right? I know a lot of Filipinos themselves that don't eat balut, okay? But I wouldn't try it. Balut is a fermented, partially formed, partially formed chick. That's fermented and they bury it. I don't even like to talk about it, okay? I mean, I never would eat that. Yet, people love that, right? There's people who love that stuff. Aki. You guys know what aki is? It's the grounded liver or liver that they ground and they eat it raw, okay? Now, I'm born and raised here. I'm not eating any aki, okay? I mean, again, but people love that stuff. How about opihi? I mean, I came from a time when you see an opihi on the rock, you hit them off and you can eat them right there, right out, right with the ocean, man. I love that stuff. Billy seen me eat that stuff, right? Pick it right off the rock and eat them. To others, it's gross. It's disgusting, yeah? I have a brother-in-law who's Polish. And I remember when I was dating my sister, he would talk about chinina. That was his food, chinina. We have to try chinina. It's the best. He was going to make it for us. What ends up, chinina is duck blood soup in Polish. I'm not interested in trying to, again, maybe after years and years. Hey, I can remember growing up as a boy, we raised couple pigs. We always had animals. Like most people on Kauai, you know, you get a mini farm in your house, right? You had chickens, we had ducks, and we raised some pigs. I can remember having to go and kill the pig with my dad. Now, how many people have killed a pig before? Not with a gun, now. Stabbing them with a knife. And you know why you stabbed it with the knife? You're going to keep the blood. They're going to make blood sausage, right? I mean, we grew up with that. I wasn't a big fan. I don't think it so much was the blood. It was that I had to kill the pig. You know what I mean? My dad would be, hold the head, right? Blood splattering, the pig screaming. Oh, man. Hey, you got different cultures. Just in the area of food, right? So much diversity. Some things we love. Things that we love, other people going to hate. And vice versa, right? But what normally happens, think about it, when you think of a culture that eats something that you think is gross, right? There's cultures that eat horse, right? There's peoples that eat horse. I mean, I cannot imagine that, right? Or people that eat dogs. Now, that's been attributed to the Filipinos. I don't know. I've never seen any Filipinos cooking dog in all the years that I lived here. But some people say the Filipinos eat dogs. But whatever, right? When I was raised, I can remember people used to eat turtle left and right. The green sea turtles. It was delicious. Yeah, I've tried that. Okay, but to some people, that would be gross. But you see the same, that same concept, right? Where you may think it's good, you might think it's gross, right? Apply it from the perspective of the Pharisees, right? Remember we said the Pharisees, where did they want to get back to? Remember, they wanted to get back to a certain time in their history, and that was this united monarchy, right? They wanted to get back to that time where, you know, everything centered around their law and their worship and their customs and their traditions. They wanted to go back there. That's where they were. When we see them, when we get introduced to them in the New Testament, that's where they wanted to get back to, right? And it amazingly, we get to see the perspective. It included food as well. Turn to the book of Acts. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Be a little lengthy portion of scripture, but follow along because I think you can see this. Acts chapter 10. Look at beginning in verse 44. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 44. Now the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now this, we can assume, had a lot of the Pharisees in there. We read earlier how the Pharisees, they believed. They had believed in Jesus Christ. So they that were of the circumcision were astonished. Why were they astonished? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now go down to verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Hey, we got a bone to pick with you, Peter, right? Why? But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Hey, you get the picture here, right? These guys contended with Peter when they heard that the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost. They contended, accusing him that he was eating with these people. And Peter says, no, I wasn't. Okay. He says, I wasn't, but then he goes back and explains this vision that he had. Now, why would we have that story in the Bible, right? Well, because the cultures that they lived in, they ate different things. The Jews were prevented from eating certain things. We know that, right? Pork, shellfish, a whole bunch of other things. And there were other cultures who were there who ate those things. Right? Now, how did that appeal to the Pharisees? Right? Hey, now think about it. Remember I asked the question, how is it when we looked at people who eat foods that we don't agree with or we don't like? Yeah? It made it a little more difficult here in Hawaii because we have such a blended culture. Okay? But, I mean, there's certain things I just won't eat. And what the tendency is a lot of times, if you come to a culture that, let's say, eats horse, it's almost natural for somebody to look down on that culture, to think that they're beneath them. That's a natural tendency from all of us. You may not believe it, but I'm telling you, it's true. I see it myself. I go to Guam and Saipan. I don't know how many people have gone to Guam and Saipan. Don't go, okay? Save your money. Hawaii is much better. But one of the things of Guam and Saipan, different culture, Chamorro culture, right? Now, if you go to Guam and Saipan, it is hot as hot can be at all times of the year. I mean, you just in the shade sweating. And when I go to Guam and Saipan, not that I'm anything, but just with my title, it's like a big thing for the guys I visit with. That they got, you know, somebody from what they consider their international office coming to visit them. So they always put on a big spread of food. I mean, they cook food, okay? And I'm sitting there, and it's hot. I'm sweating. They got this food in a hot room. Millions of flies flying all around, okay? I'm not eating that food. I mean, I'm not going to eat it. All the years that I've been going there, all the special meals that they've made, I've never eaten one time. Now, luckily, nobody has ever noticed. Don't you tell anybody, okay? Okay? Because everybody's up to me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get later. I'm going to eat later. I've never eaten there, okay? Now, the food may be good, right? But you know what my natural tendency was when I first went up there? Was to think down of the people. Like they're unclean. Yeah. That's the culture that they lived in. Hey, you know what the natural tendency is again? Same as the Pharisees. We look down on people. Whether it's religiously, why are you looking down? Or just culturally, that is a natural tendency and can be of all of us to look down at people. Hawaii has a we'll talk about this in weeks to come, but you know the Hawaii history of how we got here is not a happy one a lot of times. You know? When the missionaries came in to bring the gospel, right? They came with their culture, right, to another culture, and what was the first thing you think they tried to do? Change the culture, right? Because you tend again to look down. We'll see other places in Scripture where the Pharisees, you can see how they looked down on other cultures. Okay. Not only because of the food, but other aspects. In fact, they called those who didn't believe like them cursed. Okay, and when you look, when you study that word, right, it means like they were idiots, right? They're not learned, right? Again, we're going to look at a lot of scripture, but I want, just when we talk about food this morning, you can see the differences in the culture. Hey, you can start getting a clearer picture on the Pharisees, why they were verbally spanked more than anyone else, okay, by the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a lot of good traits. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with wanting to live by what they thought their law was, right? But we see problems coming in with their traditions, and then also we see problems with how they chose to respond to the different cultures of that time. I hope you'll stick with me in future weeks as we look at some other areas. And like I said, you're going to see, we've seen this morning again in Acts about this item of food, right, which was a contentious issue within the church at that time, We're going to see other areas, yeah, just as contentious. And again, that these that we've seen this morning, those Pharisees, I think it's important as we read this morning in Acts, began in Acts chapter 15, there was a group of Pharisees that believed, right? But there was a whole bunch of other ones that didn't believe, okay? And whereas I think those that were part of the church at that time, they eventually saw the wisdom of how God was working through this and how God had a plan for the Gentiles to receive. But there were others in during this time in Jerusalem, these Pharisees, that would never accept that, ever, okay? Again, we're going to look at that in the future. Again, thank you for staying with me this morning. Let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for your word. And Father, how we can just see just so much and how it's so applicable to today, Lord, and what we're dealing with every day, Lord, as people. And I pray you might help us again. The purpose is through recognizing the Pharisees and their thoughts and their hypocrisy, that, Lord, we might be sure that none of that is in our lives. We look forward to a great service this morning, Lord. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you. You can be dismissed. Service is going to start in about 13 minutes.